The following is a question from Gaur Roy. He says, is it bona fide to offer to the deities of the spiritual master Bhoga Prasadam that the shloka is written on them, like on a cake or in the shape of Govardhan or animals, people, etc.? This offering is later cut up, distributed, and eaten. I'm answering this question live. Of course, I answer most questions live. I haven't had experience answering them in any other way yet. But this is following the Bhakti Sangha and the other pre-recorded discussions that I'd put on over the last 3 days. And from New Bridgerdam, got back here last night. And it's amazing, for the last 2 weeks, it's been horrible weather, raining, and not only just raining, but wind has been blowing. Someone told me that the highest recorded winds ever in Hungary, and like nonstop, days and days on end. And add to that that it's been very, very cold. So devotees who are coming here will bring some warm clothes. I'm hoping that within a week things will warm up. And indications of the weather department are like that, but still, just to be on the safe side. Back to the question of Gaur Roy Prabhu, which for me is an intriguing question, because aside from the individual examples that he gives, it raises up another aspect, a second aspect of our principle of yukta vairagya, or utility is the principle. Usually when we talk about utility as a principle, we argue that yes, everything can be engaged in Krishna service. But here the question is, how do you engage everything in Krishna service, and more specifically, what particular utility has something in Krishna service? Is everything utilizable in a very general way, or is there specific utility for some things that are not suitable are suitable in one way but not suitable in another way? And the answer is yes, and for that we really need to have two things. One is wisdom, and the other one is caution. When you don't have wisdom, then you use caution. And that's how you become wise, and that's part of wisdom. So how do we apply things in Krishna service? If we really don't know, then don't. That's a rule of thumb. Here he gives, for instance, examples. You offer to the deities or to the spiritual master, say, a cake or something in the shape of scripture with shlokas on it, and then you cut it up. Should that be done? I would say no. Why? Scriptures are meant to be studied, shlokas are meant to be chanted. No doubt with the same mouth that we would then later eat them. But verses, which are in themselves forms of the Lord, are meant to be passing through the mouth in this particular way, by glorification of the Lord, rather than eating them or satisfying ourselves. And scriptures are worshipped and are not generally something that you eat. So better not to do that. And then just the symbolic concept of cutting up scriptures is something that one wouldn't want to explain, or wouldn't want to get into, just as the same way that we wouldn't want to tear up the Bhagavad Gita or break it in different chapters. In the same way, to cut it up, we wouldn't want to do that. So I would say stay clear of it. All right. What about, for instance, comes to mind what we do here on Holy Name Festival is sometimes we have these sweets, marzipan sweets, and one lot has rari written on it, the other one has sham written on it. Are those all right to eat? If in doubt, don't. I would say that because of the distinction between shlokas and shastra and the holy name, that it would be all right. Why? Because the holy name is more merciful. The holy name has appeared so that somehow or another it becomes chanted and remembered. So, if especially in good consciousness and generally that function takes place after 2 days of chanting Hare Krishna, extensive kirtans and bhajans and so on, so devotees are in a good state of consciousness, I would say that it's all right. But it's not something that I would recommend to anyone, and I'm open to be convinced of that otherwise. Should we offer Govardhan Hill and eat Govardhan Hill? Yes, because Krishna has said that. He specifically gives that instruction. And therefore, because he gives that instruction, it's fine for us to follow it. Just as Srila Prabhupada said, if Krishna told us to eat meat, then we would eat meat. We're not vegetarians, but rather we're Krishnatarians. We follow what Krishna tells us to do. However, once again, what about, and then he says, yeah, make lakes of nectar, and so that's all right, eating Radhakund and Shamakund. Krishna told us to do so. That's the over and above any type of logic and reason and argument. If Krishna says it, you do it. What about the cows? Well, he doesn't mention that. So should we eat cows? Well, once again, it's symbolic. We're so against eating meat, eating, what to speak of violence against the cows, that as, for instance, the symbolic gesture of eating shastra, for us to even do that, it runs against the grain. Therefore, don't do it. So don't make marzipan cows or burfi cows. Buy plastic cows, put them on, let the children play with them afterwards. That would be something that I would definitely shy away from. And then, of course, this is all prasadam, but there are different forms of prasadam. For instance, prasadam of the remnants of the Lord's clothes. Sometimes deity dresses become worn out, and we give them for prasadam to devotees as gifts. But it's not proper for devotees to wear those things. They shouldn't wear those things unless there's, for instance, they wear them in a very respectful way. Certainly they shouldn't dress their children in the deity's clothes because children aren't going to respect them and they're going to drag them through the mud. But maybe a deity shawl you may also wear in a very respectful way around one's neck. But you can't put it on your waist. Different things, different utility. The shoes of the deity, otherwise it's just best to just have deity prasadam and worship it on the altar. That's one's own home altar. That's the safest things. Shoes of the deity, or a spiritual master, or socks, are always worshipable. They can never be worn. On the other hand, with permission, you can wear the sweater or kurta of the spiritual master if one receives that. Especially often, the phenomena is that the spiritual master receives, what to speak of, socks, sweaters, and he may have not even necessarily worn them, but he accepts it on behalf of the Lord and then passes it on to others. That's fine. That's acceptable. So in one form it's acceptable, and in another form it's not. One thing you can wear, something else you can't. requires wisdom to know what should be done. And when in doubt, then treat everything in the same way you would treat Krishna. Worship it with great awe and reverence, and don't do anything without any guidance. Don't enter into any areas that may necessarily embarrass us. So yes, utility is the principle, and then how individual things are meant to be used in Krishna's service and for what thing they're appropriate and what other things are not appropriate, that's also part of the whole concept of utility. That is the principle. And it's a good meditation for us to get into. Could poison be used in Krishna's service? Well, Prahlad Maharaj digested it, and Lord Shiva drank it, but not something for us ordinary mortals to get involved in. And while in one sense everything is Krishna, but Krishna is meant to be utilized in certain ways and not in others. And this truth was told by Mother Sachi to her little son when he was sitting on top of the discarded pots. Then she explained that at a certain stage the pots are meant for cooking, and then they're pure. Once they've fulfilled their purpose, then they become impure, and they're not suited for being touched anymore. She then explains, earth is Krishna's energy, but earth in the form of, Krishna's energy in the form of earth makes you sick, but Krishna's energy, same energy in the form of food nourishes you. So these are wonderful things that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard from his mother on the principle of utility. Hare Krishna.